What is it like for you living out in Minnesota?
I live in a state where I've lived all my life. I live close by the place where I was born and where I grew up, went to school, so that every time I turn a corner, it seems, take a bend in the road, I see something that reminds me of things that happened a long time ago. I keep meeting up with my own history and the history of my family, and I'm continually running into people whom I haven't seen for 20 years.
The same old faces.
That's why I love to live out there.
You don't like all those strangers running around?
I love to see strangers running around. I come to New York and am among nothing but strangers. I have the greatest respect for them, admiration for them.
How do the folks out of the Midwest view us here in New York?
I think that they are intimidated by New York whenever they happen to come out here, so they don't come out as often as might be good for them. There are people who tend to go to rather bland, empty, sunny places for their vacations, who I think really would have a lot more fun coming to New York, seeing plays, hearing music, seeing jazz, walking around, seeing strange people.
What are they intimidated at? By the buildings or the networks and the New York Times? Well, what is it that intimidates people in the Midwest?
People who come to New York from the Midwest are afraid of being considered unsophisticated. They're afraid of being thought to be from the Midwest.
Well, almost everybody I work with here at CBS comes from the Midwest. I don't think I know any native New Yorkers except my 14-year-old son. I guess there's a perception that there's a lot of crime here in New York. How do the Midwesterners feel about that?
I'm sure that they think there is, too, but there's a lot of crime in the Midwest. There's crime out in the countryside. There are farmers out near where I live who no longer will leave their tractors parked out in the fields overnight. They'll bring them in to the barn, something they never used to have to do.
So everybody out in Minnesota, they travel by car mostly, huh?
Oh, sure, yeah. And so the subway is frightening to a lot of people. But I've gotten around on the subway today. I had a great time.
The Midwest, of course, where you come from, I would assume that it's mostly rural. I guess farming is the predominant way of making a living. Is that right?
Where I come from, the twin cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul form a little island in Minnesota. And then outside of that, once you get 20 or 25 miles away, beyond the farther ring of bedroom suburbs, then it's agriculture, yes. But in the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, there are a great many people who live in that island of population who are unaware of what's going on just a few miles away, unaware of the other culture that is out there.
Minneapolis and St. Paul, they're certainly not small cities by any stretch of the imagination. I used to live in Baltimore, which has a population of almost a million, and yet it seems so easy to get around in Baltimore compared to New York. Do you find that to be the case in Minneapolis?
Well, I don't have to go very far. My life follows a pretty short circuit for the most part. I live in a house about a mile and a half from work, so most of my life is spent on that mile and a half.
Speaking of a mile and a half, we have a street here in New York which is known as the Minnesota Strip. And legend has it that the street is populated by girls who run away from the Midwest. Does that really happen? Are people running away, these young people, these teenagers running away from the Midwest in the numbers that apparently it's said they are?
Minnesota and the Dakotas too, Wisconsin and Iowa, have always been exporters of young people, I think, for most of this century. As far as who is down on the Minnesota Strip or where it is in New York, I don't know. I wouldn't be the one to say.
You have no intention of making a first-hand investigation?
Well, I wouldn't know where to start.
What is the bad habit that seems to be most consistent to where you come from, like cigarette smoking, for example?
Well, that's a rather simple bad habit, cigarette smoking. And I would think there'd be ways to kick that. There are other bad habits of mind out where I come from, which is a sort of lack of curiosity sometimes among people. Sort of a, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Sort of smugness, sort of complacency that inspires a lot of young people to leave and find someplace more mysterious, romantic, and exciting. I think that there are parts of the Midwest that are guilty of a great deal of self-satisfaction.
Is that wrong?
Yes, it is. It is. I think that many people in the Midwest are capable of sitting out there and comparing themselves favorably to New York, imagining New York, and particularly New York City, Manhattan, as a hellhole and a place where civilized human life is impossible. And that's wrong. That's wrong. If they came here, if they looked, saw, heard, they would see differently.
What do folks in the Midwest like to read?
Midwest is a good book state. It really is. I think out in where I come from, books are sacred objects. I don't know that the tastes are so different from elsewhere in the country. But I would suspect we may be more serious readers out there, serious in the sense that people would much prefer history and nonfiction in general to the sort of light, frothy entertainment that I write, for example.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. You've done quite well. I'm happy to be here. That's your first book, isn't it?
Yes, it is. My first and only.
How did it do in the Midwest?
Well, it did well among my friends and among my closer relatives. Among my second and third cousins, I'm not so sure.
Hope you have a big family. Television, is it popular in Minnesota?
Oh, sure it is. Sure it is. It's terribly popular. Out in the smaller towns, though, such as Lake Wobegon, television reception is such that what you call television is actually radio out there. There's not much of a picture.
All the snow on the screen matches the snow in the air.
Yeah, people listen to television out in some parts of the Midwest.
Cable, has it made inroads?
Cable? You mean like this cord here?
Well, the cable television systems that that bring broadcast in by line, by wire, right into the house.
I suppose it has. I would have no idea. I don't have cable in the home. I'm not sure that it's available to us in our neighborhood. There's a lot of things that just pass me by. You know, I just recently heard about microwave ovens, so I'm behind the rest of you.
Your broadcast is on the air 5 days a week, isn't it? Five mornings a week?
No, I don't do that morning show anymore.
Oh.
All I do is write, and I do a show on Saturday evenings.
The Prairie is still called the Prairie Home Companion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is on public television, right? I mean, public radio.
Yes, it's broadcast, distributed by American Public Radio to about, I think, 200 stations around the country, though I could be off on that figure. Maybe a lot of them have canceled this week, I don't know.
In the Midwest, family relationships, are they important to people? We hear a lot about the nuclear family, and we hear a lot about singles in Manhattan on First Avenue and so forth. But I have a feeling that the attitudes toward families are a lot different outside of New York. What is your perception?
That may have been true even up to 10 years ago, but I think that the family and what you call the nuclear family, mom, dad, and the kids, has gone through some serious changes out where I come from, just as it has around the country. Now, the town that I talk about on my radio show, Lake Wobegon, I have so far managed to keep divorce out among the residents of the town itself. I'm able to do that only by a great leap of the imagination, and because I'm the creator of the town, so I have that power. But among the children of the people who live in Lake Wobegon and who have moved elsewhere, I don't have that sort of power, and some of them have scattered to the winds.
Divorce, does that mean that you and other Minnesotans are quite religious in your attitudes?
Of course we are, I think so. Certainly the part of Minnesota that I come from always has been, and I assume always will be. What else is there to order and to inspire a person's life? I don't know.
Is religion important on your broadcast?
I certainly hope so. I don't want to push it forward as if it were some kind of product. I don't want to use it to beat people over the head and to offend people who are of another faith. But I certainly hope it's a part of my broadcast, just as I hope it was, part of my getting up this morning and part of my trip from downtown to midtown.
How do you make use of religion on the broadcast?
It's just the way that a person looks at things. It guides whatever you look at, whatever you see, and your dealings with people, whether it's through writing, through radio, or through people whom you have a collision with at an intersection.
Garrison Keillor, I've heard your broadcast a number of times, and I've listened to the music on it, which seems rather eclectic. I've heard classical music, and I've heard banjo music, and is there any consistency in your musical taste?
None whatsoever. I just pick musicians for that show based on a hunch and what I like. Things that I like fall all over the musical map. I can't imagine a person devoting himself or herself to opera or to disco or to country western music. There just is too much else in the world. It'd be like eating spaghetti every night.
Politics. Minnesota, of course, has a history of liberal politics, the state of La Follette. Isn't that true?
La Follette is Wisconsin. We can't claim him, but part of La
Follette. Let's go to Humphrey then. The liberal element is there. Among your Midwestern friends in Minnesota, what appears to be the prevailing politics?
I think the prevailing politics in Minnesota right now is the politics of the Democratic Farm Labor Party, which tied together the populist progressive movements and straight-line democratic politics. Democratic voters in Minnesota rethinking some of their ideas about state government and about government in general and what it can do now that the economy is in such terrible, terrible shape and it can't afford to do very much at all.
Garrison Keillor, what's it been like for you? This is my last question. What's it been like for you here during your visit to New York City?
My visit to New York City is kind of an odd visit because I'm on one of those book tours, as you know. And so you kind of sometimes feel like cattle in the chute. And other times you come across wonderful people who really go out of their way. It's interesting to be here with so much business to do. not have time to see things except sort of out of the corner of your eye. But I was glad to see you got a little snow at last. It just seemed something wrong with looking out at Central Park in the month of February and seeing it all gray and brown out there.
Reminds you of home, the snow, yeah. Huh?
It looks a lot better now. And you need the moisture. You might not think that you do. You might rather have kind of a dry, fall-like winter. But you need the moisture.
You're absolutely right. And for some strange reason, New York does not get the snow that apparently it used to have many years ago.
Yeah. You can tell it in the way that people drive. You can tell that they're a little bit out of practice.
Well,
driving on snowy streets.
The driving in New York is very erratic. There are two types of drivers. One, the person with New Jersey or Connecticut plates, he doesn't know where he's going, so he drives very cautiously. Then you have the guy who's always lived in New York from Queens, and he's got a dented-in car, and alongside the taxi driver, and they just take over the streets. Very intimidating. So it's and also people in New York, we don't pay any attention to red lights. They might as well be Christmas decorations.
I wouldn't go that far, though I was in a cab that went through one this morning, and personally, I was shocked.
Happens every day. Oh, one other question, one last question. You've hit all the big cities on your tour, or most of them, I guess, up to this point. I guess you're going up to Boston tonight. What's been your favorite city in of your tour, and why?
New York is the first city on the tour, and so New York is my favorite.
Ah, okay. So which city are you looking forward to visiting next?
I've never been to Texas, and I get to go to Dallas, so I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.